This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, one in the books, two to go. Still 2 hours of the big show. It's The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. It's Barry, Nick, and Joel on an F Yeah Friday. If you missed the first hour of the show, go to ESPN975.com, click on the show tab, and you can catch up on any and all that you missed. And while you're there, download the app. It's free. Take us anywhere, everywhere. We get people all the time telling us, I'm listening from Colorado, Carolina, Wisconsin, anywhere, and we appreciate you. Our comedian of the week, Barry, gave you a little backstory on, but we will have more clips too from your special pick as comedian of the week this week.
Dan Hornstein, yeah. At Dan in Houston on Twitter, if you want to follow him. Funny dude, up and comer. I'm trying to start to give you guys some younger comics that I know you haven't heard of, but you should, and we'll be doing that in a lot this year, I hope. I see, what is that? You got it? No, you son of a bitch. You just licked the top of that Diet Coke. Oh, my God. You're doing it again? Oh, you put it in your pants,
oh,
bro?
He definitely did. Nick has two cans of Diet Coke. One he licked the top of. Okay. The other one he dropped straight down the front of his pants.
No, I don't care if you wipe it off with a Clorox wipe. I would never do that. That Coke can that you put in your pants has herpes now. There's no way I'm touching. Don't you bring that in here. Don't you bring that in here. No. Get your ass.
Nick has now brought the can in, put it in front of Barry along with a Clorox wipe on top of it, and basically said,
I hate him.
Go on and take it.
I hate him so much.
At least it doesn't show on the air.
He's the worst person that I've ever met in my whole life.
You wanted a Diet Coke? You got one.
Yeah. And
you got now, your damn Diet Coke.
You know
Coke.
What else? I'll have herpes if I touch this.
Oh, he will suck it up if he does.
No, I'm not. That. No way in hell. Can I tell you one weird thing about the pictures from the New York Times?
Okay.
I don't know if you guys have gone to that article, but they have the front of the day spa, the Orchids
Saw
of
that.
Asia day spa.
Yep.
Do you know what's next to it?
Subway.
No.
Oh, okay.
An escape room. Probably not the ideal thing next to a sex trafficking ring is to have an escape room.
That's... Well, a lot of times, I think what it is they're like, so like there's a plaza or a strip center. I know Joel got called old for calling it a strip center.
Yeah. No, is that what I called it? Strip mall? Or
you did call it a strip center.
Yeah, I know I did, but I didn't know that was old.
Yeah, I didn't know that was old.
But I think it kind of depends on that landlord. And if that landlord doesn't have the same morals, and I'm a. Why are you
Barry
not touching that? I gave you that Diet Coke.
Paper to throw
out of the goodness
Coke
of my
away.
Heart, I gave you that Diet Coke. You drink it.
I wouldn't touch this Diet Coke to pour it on you if you were on fire right now. There's no way.
What are you doing? You're just throwing away a perfectly good Diet Coke. That's just...
Yes.
Okay.
You still owe me 19.
Okay. But anyway, like I was saying, I think it depends on the landlord and how, his moral... Like, if he doesn't care, even if he knows that it's a brothel, if that owner of that brothel is clearing checks and paying rent, guess what? He might accept them as a tenant. And that's why you might see some of those, located next to very normal and legal businesses.
There was, when I used to train at 4 Ounce Fight Club, this is off 1960 and Winfern, and right next to it was a massage parlor that got busted like 3 times. But you wouldn't know, it's just, it's just tinted windows.
Almost every
basically.
Television station has busted multiple.
Yeah. Yeah, I've told you guys, when I first moved to Houston, right across Sam's Boat on Richmond was a big deal. And a lot of people used to go to Sam's Boat, and at about 1:30 or 1 o'clock, if things were going well for guys, a couple of the guys would go, hey, we're going to go across the street. And I'm like, they open up a new bar across the street? Nope. There is a quote unquote massage parlor / lingerie shop. And
oh, wow.
Yeah. They had a pretty quick name, slang name for it, but ending in shack, but they would just go over to the shack and take care of biz and go home.
Wow. And these were your friends?
Oh, yeah. I just moved here, but yeah, they were my friends. And I was like, is this a frequent occurrence? They're like, you know what? Sometimes you get that urge and the bar scene doesn't go well and you got a way to take care of the urge.
That's just crazy.
Like, wow, you're paying for it.
I mean, that's just crazy.
Yeah. So.
Wow.
You want to refresh? Not refresh, but you want to fill the peeps in on exactly what a table shower is?
Yeah. So I Googled what is a table shower? And then this thing came up that says, what happens during a table shower massage? The table shower massage are separate. You get the massage first. Mm-hmm. You'll be nice and oily. Then the table shower. It's actually a large table with sides on it. You'll be laying down flat, face up, completely naked. You'll be hand cleaned from face to feet, although they don't touch your genitals. Yeah, right. Turn over and they clean you from neck to feet. On mine, the girl rubbed a finger on my beehole and made a squeak sound. Like, ear, ear, ear. Apparently, this is what this guy said this is. You're not supposed to touch the genitals. Why would you touch? Why would you touch the beehole, ma'am? I'd be like, I'm not paying for that. And then not only that, but you go, ear, 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 when
you're
checking
the oil. It's like your road trips. Got to ring the doorbell and check the oil.
After being soaped and rinsed, you get off the table, stand up, and the girl dries you off. This is not for shy people. She will see every part of your body close up. Mine was very professional.
Oh, I'm sure.
No. She did not make it about sex at all. We talked and laughed the whole time. I've got to be honest. I had recently gone through bladder cancer surgery, which is all done through the genitals. Any pride or dignity I may have had was out the window. A multitude of women all ages had their face in my business. For me, Miss Squeaky was just another pleasant young woman doing her job. No. I'm sorry. Dude, if you're paying for someone else to clean you, which, first of all, maybe, okay, in the case of like, hey, I can't reach all those.
Yeah, you're either in the hospital or in home care, right?
Yeah, and the nurse comes in and gives you the sponge bath. That's different than going to a massage parlor to get a shower, just have someone else give you a shower. That's weird.
Bro, you ready for this?
Ear, ear, ear. Why would you do that?
You want something else that's very weird?
You touched my beehole. That's not okay.
Well, you've had comedy shows where people have tried.
Yeah, and it wasn't okay.
Okay. At least you were clothed.
That's so weird. Yeah, right?
So here's even more weird stuff. Busted Coverage now has footage that they're showing. Patriots fans are lined up outside. I'm going to use it again. Yeah, the strip mall where the place is, getting pics at Kraft's joint.
Oh, no.
So now that's a thing.
I bet they're going to get, like, hate mail. What are you trying to bring down the Patriots, you stupid sex trafficked people? Like, what? Let's prioritize here, y'all. Let's get some priority.
Of these guys out front.
Idiots.
And other guys walking around with pizza. So I guess it's just a party.
Maybe they're there to go to the escape room.
Hey, what's going on?
People are just weird.
Bob Kraft gets a table shower here. I'm in. Let's go.
If I find out that Cal McNair went and got a table shower at the Orchids of Asia Day Spa, I'm not going down there to see it. I don't care that much. You love the Patriots that much that you would go down to the massage parlor where the owner was busted. And it doesn't. And by the way,
it's not like that's where Brady's trainer works out of. I mean, no. give it a rest.
No. And by the way, Tyler sent us a list of the names. I don't recognize any other names on there. I thought I recognized one, Googled it. No. It was a Harvard professor, but.
Was it?
Yeah, that maybe wasn't the same person, right, though. But I don't recognize anything.
And you don't know how legit that was because it was just a piece of printer paper.
It was an Excel spreadsheet.
Yeah.
And that's why I asked you. So there, you did say you did see that there was video of it, because if that's all it is, because it just says Robert Kraft
and a birthday.
Pretty sure there's. Oh, it does have the birthday.
Has the birthday.
What's the birthday?
6/5/41.
Why are you giving your birthday?
Well, if this is a legal branch of the police department, they would obviously have it. So that's what they're basically saying.
I thought that this was confiscated from like the massage parlor's computer.
No, I think this is from the investigation.
Gotcha. Okay. Yeah, because that is his birthday. And I was going to say, that's kind of a bad look if you were like, I didn't do it, but there was a Robert Kraft that was born on the same day as I was there. That wasn't me, though, but that makes sense.
Crazy. I didn't know there were two Bob Krafts born on that day.
That are both 77 and in the town at the same time. That's weird.
Yeah.
And paid with a check. We'll get to that later.
Yeah, we will. If we don't, someone else will.
Yeah, but speaking of getting paid, man, Get Upside. That's this app I'm using now, and I want you guys to get in on this because, hey, look, I shouldn't be the only one getting cash back. A lot of you are starting to use it, and I'm excited about that. You're starting to give me feedback, and you're letting me know some of the money you're saving on gas by using promo code Barry when you go and download Get Upside, which is free, by the way. The iTunes store, the Google Play store, you go get Upside. It's super easy. Just search Get Upside. It's a free download. You type in promo code Barry once you get registered. Boom. You start saving money on stuff you're already spending money on, which is gas and food. There's like 5,000 plus gas stations around Houston you can use this at. And you get up to 25 cents a gallon. It's crazy. I know there are tons of Shell stations around the station and around my house where I can get at least 12 cents a gallon back. And that's legit. I mean, you can get up to 35% cash back on restaurants and places you eat, not some weird place that you've never heard of. Wendy's, Popeye's, Burger King. I mean, if I go and get, you know, I try to eat healthy. I'll go to Wendy's and maybe get a chili or just a baked potato plain. And if you're doing that and you're getting 20, 25% back, do that 4 or 5 times a week on lunch. You're getting a free lunch, basically, by getting cash back. It's totally worth it. And look, these businesses, they want you to shop there. So they offer you this money. But you can only get it through Get Upside. So download the app. Promo code Barry is the way to go. Get that extra savings. And all the offers are different. Every time you open the app, you just pull up the map and you can search around you and just start getting cash back on this stuff you're already spending money on. Hundreds of restaurants in the Get Upside app. 5,000 plus gas stations. Go download it right now. It's called Get Upside. Remember, promo code Barry. Get that extra savings. Don't be a dummy. Don't leave money on the table. Get Upside. Promo code Barry. Thank me later.
Well, hello.
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN.
Dial the phone.
Looking to outsource your company's HR and payroll? Get the top initiative and smart solutions with HRP.net. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
I'm happily married, which is cool. Yeah, it's cool. I love being married. I got a trophy wife and everything. Yeah, third place. Me and my wife, we got in a huge fight the other day. She got super pissed off at me because it was date night, and I took her to Popeye's. So we've been really trying to work on our relationship since then. We started going back to churches. And if you've been paying attention, that's 2 fried chicken jokes in under 5 minutes. Okay. Me and my wife just bought a house. We got one of those tiny houses. I mean, technically it's a trailer, but you know. My wife likes having a tiny house because she's really into like that whole minimalist design thing. I like having a tiny house because I'm pretty sure it makes my dick look bigger.
Dan Hornstein, Comedian of the Week on an F Yeah Friday, F for Funny. Barry, give him a little.
Yeah, man. At Dan in Houston on Twitter. Like I told you earlier, up-and-coming comic. He's really been grinding. And a lot of these guys, man, you want to make friends with them early on, but then they end up quitting. And Dan was one of those guys. We didn't talk a lot. We hung out a little bit. You could see he worked hard at it. And he's earned the respect of his peers, and he's a good comic. And that's what you love seeing as a guy that starts out. And he's grinding, and he's one of those guys that he'll be a working comic one day. And a lot of us are very proud to be able to say that, and he'll be one of those guys. So mark that name down, Dan Hornstein, at Dan in Houston. Funny dude.
There you go.
I love that trophy wife joke. That's a good joke.
If you're just tuning in, you've missed quite a bit.
Yeah.
And also, we've been talking about the Robert Kraft situation that was breaking news right before we came on the air. And we're going to have Charles Barkley going to join us at about 2:30. So we'll have plenty to get to with the Chuckster as we can get to. Boy, he had a hell of a joke last night on the air that wasn't basketball related, amongst other things that I'm sure he has plenty of commentary on based on what's been going on in basketball and otherwise. So that'll be a fun conversation.
I'm still getting the Tom Brady picture. Please stop tweeting that to me. You don't. I mean, I've gotten it probably, and this is no lie, I've probably gotten it 25 times today already. And this is just like, what, 2 hours before we came on the air is when the story broke? Mm-hmm. So I've seen it. No need to send it to me again. But I appreciate y'all looking out for me. Also, my buddy Eric Hostetter sent me a text while we were on the air and said that the list has some names that may look like somebody's been trolling. There is a Richard Palmer on the list, born in 69. So there is a Dick Palmer on the list that was born in 1969. That definitely, that's somebody that was like, I'm not giving my real name. I am not. I had this dummy PayPal account set up, and I ordered the credit card from PayPal, and it's in the name of Dick Palmer, and that's what I'm paying with.
That's when a 49-year-old guy has a fake ID.
Yeah. I just thought that was funny. Good looking out, Eric. I didn't even notice that. But yeah, there's a Richard Palmer on the list.
And the thing is, there's
How convenient.
There's no, what do you call it? There's nothing at the top of the page that has a logo on it or official document. Yeah. There's no, you know, logo at the top, nothing. It's not on official letterhead is what I'm looking for.
Right.
So it's just a white piece of copy paper with, like you said, an Excel spreadsheet of names and dates of birth.
That's it.
So, again, it's going to play out, whether it be in the court system or just as all the details start getting in and being official with police department and otherwise, and we'll get to the bottom of it at some point.
Crazy news. We'll be talking about that for a while.
We were talking about the dominoes falling in baseball, and because of the fact that Manny Machado signed, we're still waiting on Bryce Harper, but maybe others would fall in line. And one of our own, Marwin Gonzalez, has finally moved on. Not the big deal that everybody thought he was going to get, that I think he thought he was going to get. He gets 2 years and $21 million from the Minnesota Twins.
Interesting. I wonder how they're going to use him, because that's a pretty good deal based on what he wanted and market value. And we talked about being in the $17 million range, which seemed crazy.
Mm-hmm.
They got him at $12 million for the first year, $9 million for the second. So, not bad.
Not bad at all.
$9 million the second year, that's not a big gamble. I mean, 12 up front is probably about as much as I would pay for him. It's not terrible, especially if he can, you know, if he doesn't regress to what he's been in the past and he plays a role for them similar to what he did for the Astros. And don't forget, I mean, how much value do you put on a guy that has World Series experience, that has playoff experience? Because I'll tell you from experience that you saw Jose Altuve and to a little lesser extent, Carlos Correa learn how to be leaders in the last couple of years.
Sure.
And they owe it to two people, especially Altuve. And Nick, you saw this in the locker rooms a lot. Jose Altuve can give a lot of credit for his leadership skills to, first of all, Carlos Beltran, because that's why he was brought in.
Yep.
But Marwin Gonzalez sitting next to Altuve every day and every night, before games, after games, in that locker room. I saw it with my own eyes. I remember when Altuve was having a bit of a slump to start the season, and Marwin Gonzalez was right next to him, and people would come up to Altuve and ask him about the slump. And you could almost see Marwin coaching him and helping him deal with these dumb questions from the media. He learned a lot from Marwin, and so there's some value in that. And Marwin now takes that to another young Minnesota team.
I'll give you one more.
Okay.
Brian McCann for that clubhouse as a whole. Maybe not
those
two guys.
I would say the pitching staff.
But it was a little later. No, I think overall, because you talked to Bregman, you talked to the guys on that team that said, hey, look, this was a guy that really helped us kind of carried the torch, because Beltran was the guy initially, right? Beltran was the guy that did all the dirty work. And I think then recently in the last couple of years, there are a lot of guys that gave some credit for being that veteran leader to Brian McCann. And you're absolutely right. I mean, Marwin to be that close to Altuve. But now I ask you this question as a follow-up, though. If you're Jeff Luhnow, okay,
mm-hmm.
and you heard the numbers that we heard going into the process, as much as 19 a year, if you knew you only had to pay 2 years and 21, would you have moved on so quickly?
No. I think if I could have got him for, 12 the first and 9 the second, that's a pretty good value for what he was estimated to make.
And the reason why I say that, I asked it, because I agree with you. But because of everything that you said previously, and also everything that we know about how important chemistry is in the clubhouse, he was really tight with a lot of guys on that team. And that's kind of, it lends itself again to your first comment, but also even more so, not just on the field, off the field. Those guys, they had their own little bunch that was really tight. Every time you saw the guys either at batting practice or off the field when they were dressing up for flights and things like that, Marwin's right in the middle of all that.
Here's the problem, though. You can't pay $12 million. Like, he's probably going to play left field in Minnesota, I'm guessing. He's going to play a starting role for that kind of money. Mm-hmm. That's the problem. I mean, if you look prior to this year, the most Marwin made was last year, he made $5 million. You can fade $5 million for a guy to play a backup role. And he started a lot in left field. And then before that, in 2017, he made $3.7 million. So as a utility player, but he filled in everywhere. It was a valuable role. But when you start talking about paying $12 million for a guy to be a utility player... Right. It becomes too much. And I would imagine that that was more along the lines of what happened to Marwin with the Astros. It was less about them wanting him and more about the money didn't make sense for a guy. You got Brantley, you've got Springer, you've got Reddick. You can't afford to pay Marwin Gonzalez $12 million to be a backup. Right.
And a year ago, he was going to start somewhere.
Because there's nowhere else on the infield that he's going to play.
Hinch just fell in love with the fact that he was valuable in the lineup. Obviously, there were some injuries too early on and spread out throughout the year. But he just found a place for him almost every game because of the fact that he was so valuable and so versatile. But this year, looking at the lineup and the fact that even from an outfield perspective, guys are going to be fighting to make the roster. Designated hitter, which you could say, well, maybe we'd slide him in as the DH, but you're going to have guys that are going to be not playing outfield that are probably going to slide into that position and otherwise. So,
yeah. And when you look at what is Diaz? I mean, Diaz is making, Aledmys Diaz, we talked about the guy that they went out and got to be a poor man's Gonzalez, is making $575,000 for 2019. And he's got 3 years of arbitration. All they did was they went out and got Marwin at the price you should be paying for a utility player.
Yeah. That's what you got to. I think you got to protect your ass, right?
I mean, the $9 million I might have paid.
To be a utility?
Maybe. At the high end. I mean, okay, on a World Series contender, you might fade $9 million because if you lose Correa, Bregman, Altuve, or your first baseman, or your left fielder, or your right fielder, he can play that position as long as it takes to get him back.
You're right. With their injury history alone, it's an insurance policy.
Right, but I wouldn't pay more than $9 million for that.
Okay. So there's some baseball news as well, and we get to a lot more things. But coming up next, it's the Round Mounder Rebound, and you know him from TNT.
So excited.
Charles Barkley going to join us. Coming up next, don't go anywhere. The second half of the show right around the corner, Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, 90 in the books, 90 still to go. It is the big show. It's the Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5 here in H-Town. And it is my distinct pleasure to bring in my man, someone I've known for a long time, but I can't ever be too appreciative whenever he takes time out of his schedule to join us on this show because I know he's got a lot going on. But the one and only, Charles Barkley, joining us right now on the HRNP listener line. Chuckster, always appreciate you spending some time with us. How you doing, my man?
I'm good, my brother. Got through All-Star weekend, which was crazy. Now I got one more week on the NBA, and I go off to March Madness. So my life is a little crazy right now, but man, this tournament's going to be awesome.
Yeah, it could be worse. I know that you're busy, but it's always in a good way. And I will say this, one of the idiosyncrasies I know about you is if you didn't lose your voice, it wasn't too rough of a weekend. Because normally when you get out and burn the midnight oil, the voice is the first thing to go.
Well, you know what? I figured out I had to quit smoking cigars. I lost my voice like 3 years in a row. So I just quit smoking cigars. I mean, we own a lot All-Star weekend, but the problem I was having was smoking my cigars every night. So no more cigar smoking during the All-Star game weekend.
All right, Chuck, I got to ask you. This is Barry, by the way. So last night during the broadcast, you were killing it, man. I don't know if you know this. I'm a stand-up comedian. I've been a comedian for 5 years now. You had one of the best sets I've seen in a long time.
It was fantastic.
Dude, what I'm really hoping is that you tell me that someone wrote that Liam Neeson joke, because if you just came up with that, I'm quitting comedy, man. That was the best joke. Literally, that is one of the best jokes I have heard or seen in the last 12 months. It was amazing.
Well, number one, I appreciate it. You know, man, you know what? When you're on television, you know, we're on from 8 to 2:30 in the morning. And when crazy stuff happens, it makes my life a lot easier. I mean, it makes my life a lot easier. I mean, this Justice Smollett stuff and this Liam Neeson stuff, it kind of just writes itself. You know, I mean, it does. It kind of just writes itself.
It was beautiful. But,
I mean, you and Shaq.
No, nobody writes it for us, but it just writes itself.
I mean, for the people that missed it, you and Shaq were kidding around about, and obviously the Justice Smollett stuff was breaking and where he was actually arrested. And you said, if you're going to commit a crime, who writes a check? And if you're Justice Smollett, why don't you just go to Liam Neeson's neighborhood?
Oh, beautiful.
That was,
I mean, like, you know how do you just say, come on, man?
Yep.
First of all, obviously the whole concept is silly and stupid, and you don't know what the guy's thinking. But to leave a right checks to crooks and things like that, you can't make it up.
No, and in this day and age, when you can get an itemized receipt, you know that ski masks and rope and all these different things are on it. That's just kind of a red flag.
Yeah, we were talking last night. Where are you going to buy that stuff at? You have to go to like 3 or 4 different stores. Can you get them all at the same place?
Evidently, with a little research, you can get a lot of things done at the one-stop shop.
But the whole situation, man, you got to laugh. And, you know, obviously everything's going to come out in the wash. And you just got to say to yourself, man, what the hell were you thinking?
Yeah, no question about it. Hey, man, I want to get into this a little bit because I know that you have had a lot of relationships over the course of your playing career with referees, and obviously the Scott Foster thing came up with the game you guys had with the Rockets and the Lakers last night. Chris Paul's had a history there. But I go down the long list. You knew Madden. You knew Mathis. You knew even back to the Earl Strom days. But you knew all those guys that had a little bit of a reputation. But you also had relationships with those guys. What are you making of all this with the Rockets and the referees and the whole Scott Foster thing?
Well, first of all, I got to let I don't know about that particular scenario, but I will say this. I had it. A really bad relationship with a guy named Mike Mathis.
Yep.
And he threw me out of like 5 or 6 games in a row. First of all, I said something to him that I should have said, and he would never let it go. I mean, sometimes the thing get heated, but some of these guys carry grudges. And it got so bad with Mike Mathis, I asked for a meeting with him and the commissioner.
Wow.
That's how bad it got. Because I couldn't play. Anytime I saw him, I knew I was going to get tossed. If I complained or did any gestures, he tossed me. So it got so bad, I asked commissioner to sit us in a room, and clearly the ref is going to deny it. But I thought he had a grudge against me, and to this day, I still believe he had a grudge against me.
Charles, I got to know, I mean, if you're going to say it, can you share with us what you said? Because I got to know what something like that would be to hold a grudge that long.
Oh, I said something about his mama.
Well, okay. Fair enough.
Well, because, you know, Rockets fans remember that, you know, Jake O'Donnell had it out for Clyde, and then it was in the series against you guys in Phoenix. And he got it was real early, and he got tossed, and it was a big deal. And Jake O'Donnell not only didn't do a Rockets game ever again, he didn't do another game in the NBA.
Well, like I say, that's a really tough call because only, like I say, I don't pay attention to the Rockets in that particular who do their games. But I guess James and Chris, if they have a legit gripe, the NBA has to look into it. Like I say, I don't know about that particular situation. But there are refs. I mean, obviously, Clyde is probably one of the most well-known. I think that Tim Duncan, I forget the family official, he threw him out for just looking at him.
That was Joey Crawford, yep.
Yeah, so there are officials who hold grudges. So the NBA, they got to at least take James and Chris criticism into account, plain and simple.
Well, I will tell you, Charles, Chris Paul came out and said that he has met with the league and Scott Foster together in a room similar to what you did. That's why he's like, I don't know what else to do. Now, as far as James Harden goes, he was talking about recently being criticized and how he's taking some criticism from well-known players that are out of the game, that it's their job to give commentary on guys like him. And he said that that probably hurts more than just the average fan. Did you ever experience anything like that where you had guys that kind of criticized your game and what you did that were no longer in the game? And did that bother you more than anything else?
Well, I think the criticism he's talking about is from Kobe Bryant. And, listen, Kobe can say what he wants to. You have to ask yourself if he has a valid point. Secondly, I really was glad that James didn't respond negatively, because that just would have kept the fire burning and threw more gasoline on it. You just have to ask yourself, is what Kobe said a fair criticism? Probably, Kobe is probably one of the few people who has been as great offensively as James. You know, you look at Michael Jordan, guys who are just devastating scores. I said last year, I think James is the greatest offensive player during this generation. I think he's the most unguardable player we have in the NBA. The question is, can you win playing like he plays? I think that's a fair criticism. And he's going to have to live with that criticism until the Rockets win. That's just it. I tell people, it ain't right, it ain't wrong. That's just how it is, plain and simple.
And to be fair, Chuck, because, you know, Pippen said some things and Steven Jackson otherwise. But the thing on the Kobe point, which I've made the point several times here in the city, is it's so totally different in the playoffs than the regular season. And what Kobe said is it's not going to win a championship. And you know as well as I do, when it's a 7-game series and you have enough time to prepare and one guy is dribbling it for 19 seconds at the top of the key, that's a pretty easy defensive game plan to put together.
No question. And it puts, you know, it puts James in a situation where it's either hit or miss. If he has a bad shooting night, that's going to be the series. Listen, James is a hell of a player. Like I say, I think he's the most unguardable guy we got in the league today. But, man, Jerry's still going to be out the way he plays until they win the championship. And if they don't win, he's going to get criticized for the way he plays. Like I say, that's just how it is, plain and simple.
And take it a step further, Chuck, because here's the other thing. How Barry and I have talked about this on this show. For the other four guys on the court with him, when they're playing that style, how difficult is that? Because you stand around and have to watch, and then all of a sudden, if he gets doubled and he's got to get a bailout and he throws it to you, the guys look like they have no clue.
Well, you know, I've said I would not want to play with James. As great a player as he is, it wouldn't be fun just standing around. Because I think it's hard for other guys to get in the rhythm. You know, when they went in that game last year, when they missed 30 straight threes, you have to say to yourself, you know, you can't really get in the rhythm. When they throw you the ball, you got to jack up a three. And that to me would not be a fun way to play. I know they really believe in analytics. And listen, analytics work for the Golden State Warriors because they got Clay, Steph, and Kevin. It don't work for anybody else. That's why that team, you know, if Draymond's not out there kicking people, they probably win. They would have won the last four championships. Because, you know, Clay and Steph and KD, they're the great three of the greatest shooters who ever lived.
But wait a minute, if Chris Paul doesn't pull a hamstring, you still believe that? If Chris Paul doesn't pull a hamstring, you still believe that?
Yeah, I still think I think it was a hell of a series. But I think it's going to be tough to beat those guys, especially now when they got DeMarcus Cousins. But, you know, the Rockets, I think the Rockets, if KD hadn't went to Golden State, the Rockets, Daryl Morey, and those guys did a fabulous job. They probably would have won probably the last two championships, to be honest with you. But, you know, KD made them pretty much unbeatable. The Rockets have come the closest. But those guys, man, they're going to be tough to beat again this year.
Now, so speaking of that, speaking of the playoffs, you mentioned last night, I'm curious, this is a two-part question. One, you mentioned that at halftime you didn't think the Lakers would make the playoffs, and I happen to agree with you. I'm curious if you changed your mind at all after the second half and seeing what they were capable of. And two, what do you think the Rockets' chances are and where you think they'll slot in the playoffs as far as seeds go?
Well, I don't think the Lakers won that game last night. I think the Rockets lost that game. I think I said that on the air. You know, James had, I think, 8 turnovers, and I think he was 11 for 25. I thought they self-destructed in the second half. I don't think the Lakers won that game. I mean, when they had them, I think they had the biggest lead was 19. Mm-hmm. The Rockets lost that game. The Lakers didn't win it. But the Lakers have probably the toughest schedule remaining. I think the wear and tear is going to catch up with LeBron because that team is not good. He's going to have to play 40-plus minutes a night for the next 25 games. I think that's going to be very difficult. You got 3 easy games in the West, Phoenix, New Orleans, and maybe Memphis. But Memphis plays very hard. But every other team out there, they're probably better than the Lakers. The Lakers are not better than the Warriors. They're not better than Denver. They're not better than OKC. They're not better than Portland. The Spurs is probably a toss-up. Minnesota is probably a toss-up. And let me tell you something. What the Portland Trailblazers did was going out getting Cantor and Rodney Hood. I'm not sure they aren't the second-best team in the West.
Oh, yeah. You know, and you got Oklahoma City, who at least got better because they got depth that they didn't have a year ago. And Paul George is having an MVP-like season.
He is. You know, Giannis is the MVP, in my opinion. Paul George is second, and James is third. But the Lakers aren't better than any of those teams I mentioned. And what's going to be difficult for the Rockets, any of those teams I just mentioned, can James do what he's doing for 12 games? I don't think he can, because every round in the West is going to be a dogfight.
You're saying 12 games because they got to win two series.
Well, I'm saying, can he win 3 series? I don't think he can do that. I think that's too much to ask of one guy. Because what seed are you guys right now?
Well, they fell because of the loss last night to where I think they were fifth going in, or they were fourth going in, but they were one game out of the 8th spot after losing last night.
Well, so clearly the Rockets. Let's forget about Golden State. But we can make 6 or 7. They got to play Denver, Oklahoma City,
Utah,
Portland. Utah, like, that's what I say. I think it's going to be very difficult for the Rockets, for James, to win 12 games to get to the finals. I don't know if you can play. I don't know if it's physically possible to get 35, play 40 minutes a night for 3 straight rounds. I just think that's too much of anybody to ask for.
Now, you moved him to third in the MVP race, as you just said. This streak has obviously been amazing, and he's had to do it because he's had to shoulder the load with all the injuries. But in terms of its impact on the votes, because we saw that when these streaks are picked up by the media, Russ and his triple-double streak ran the table because it didn't matter what the team did. You're saying not the same case this year with James and the streak that he's got going?
Well, Joel, on the streak meter, it's great what James is doing, number one.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm always consistent. I always reward the guys who got the better record. The caveat was Russ, and he averaged a triple-double because we had never seen that before since Oscar. And the Rockets didn't win. Like last year, James was a runaway MVP. But this year, they're a bottom seed.
Yeah.
But Giannis, they've got the best record in the NBA. And you look at Paul George, Oklahoma City's, they're third, and he's playing in a much better conference. So I reward those guys. But James is probably, he's third in my opinion. But I'm going to say, this is just my opinion. I don't get a vote. Ernie's the only person on our show that gets a vote. But I would have James third, as great as he's playing.
I heard you mention last. Well, you mentioned the Bucks and Giannis. How do you see the East shaping up? I mean, you've mentioned the Sixers in the past, and you liked what they did at the trade deadline. Who's coming out of the East?
That's the hardest question I've been asked in the last 3 weeks. I have no idea. I'm not. You know, I hate when these guys get on TV and act like he knows. Like, I make a case for all four of those teams. If you put my feet to the fire, if Joel Embiid's healthy, I might go with the Sixers. I love what the Sixers did at the trade deadline. I love what they did. But also, I love what Toronto did, going out and getting Marc Gasol. Yep. Mm-hmm. Milwaukee getting Mirotić. So everybody got better except the Celtics. But the Celtics probably from 1 to 10 has the most talent, to be honest with you. But like I say, I don't know. That's going to be crazy. That's going to be crazy, the Eastern Conference Finals. The semifinals. Because we clearly think it's going to be those four teams going to meet in the second round of the playoffs. And they're going to be awesome to watch.
Yes, they are.
Well, I noticed you didn't mention Milwaukee in the top three. Do you think Giannis wins the MVP, but they don't come out of the East?
I said they got Mirotić. They got better.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Plus, like you love Milwaukee because of me and Don Nelson and the piggy bank back in the day. Come on, man.
Hey, man, listen, I know you, man, y'all, you got to get your boy Aaron Rodgers some help, man. And he's just starting to turn on him a little bit.
You know I know that because you always give me grief about anything that they do, you right or wrong. But they'll get it straight. I just hope this coach is the real deal. Look, Aaron,
to me, you know, I think he's the best quarterback in the NFL. He's right there with Tom Brady. But you can see now how this thing works. You see the media starting to turn on Aaron.
Yep.
It's amazing how it works. I wish the fans would pay attention. Like, hey, we love you. We love you. Oh, you want a Super Bowl? Okay, you're good now. Then, like, X amount of years later, maybe you're overrated or you're not that good. That guy's incredible. But that's just the way this media thing works.
And you know I'm honest with you and others. And I've said, look, if you go through a quarter century with Brett Favre, Aaron Rodgers, and you only get two Super Bowl titles, you have underachieved to a just way too high of a level. And that's on the organization.
Well, the thing is, when I look at the Packers, you ask yourself, how many household names? One of the reasons Tom Brady is the greatest football player ever, not just the greatest quarterback. And let me tell you this. I think Tom Brady, I put him ahead of Michael Jordan right now.
Wow.
And I never thought I would say that, because to get to 9 Super Bowls got to be the greatest sports accomplishment. Michael Jordan's the greatest basketball player ever.
Agreed.
But you know, when you got the greatest player, you're going to win 4 out of 7 games. Mm-hmm. But to make it to 9 Super Bowls,
yeah,
win 6 in a one-and-done scenario, I never thought I'd say somebody as great as Michael Jordan, but I think Tom Brady has passed Michael Jordan. To get to 9 Super Bowls in a one-and-done scenario and win 6 got to be the greatest accomplishment in sports. I truly believe that.
And you know what? You also think he's darn handsome, because I saw the interview that you did on late night television. So you were mesmerized by his good looks, and I was shocked about that.
Well, you know, me and Coach Belichick been friends for a long time, and I met him when he was coaching the Browns. So I went out to practice when they were in Atlanta for the Super Bowl. So I'm talking to Bill, and then Rob, who I met before a few times, and I met Tom a few times, and he came over and started talking to me, and I looked him in the eyes, and I'm like, damn, that's a pretty man. Joel, I have to start turning my head to talk to him. I can't look at this dude in the eyes, man.
That's funny.
Chuck, please tell me you've not been hanging out with Robert Kraft lately.
Ooh, boy.
Please come on, tell me. Chuck, $59.99 for a girl? Please, he's making almost $6 billion.
Please tell me you hadn't been hanging out with him.
Hey, man, let me tell you something. You know how I get these alerts on my phone?
Yes.
I was laying in bed this morning, and I'm like, oh, what's this? Something happened in the NBA. Somebody not playing. Somebody hurt. Blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, oh, my goodness. That's, man. And they say they got it on the payment.
Yes.
And the act on tape.
That's what we've heard.
Hey, let me tell you something. How long do you think TMZ been on the phone this morning bidding for that bad boy?
No doubt. Their phone bills are unlimited right now.
What's sad is TMZ is going to pay more for that video than Robert Kraft would have paid for the act. That's terrible.
That's bad, man. That's the only way I can say that. That's a bad situation.
Brother, you know what? I've always said this. You've treated us like gold. We lived the show Entourage before there was a show Entourage, and you've done so much in your life, but I always like to get you away from sports a little bit, too. I mean, you've done so much. I heard you say the other night you've never been to Greece. Are there any things on the bucket list of Charles Barkley that you still want to do that you haven't yet done?
Oh, yeah. I want to meet Eminem. I want to meet Mahershala Ali. You know, I love meeting people who are successful, but I never met Eminem. That's on my bucket list. Same thing with Mahershala Ali. I went to the Army Navy game last year. That was on my bucket list. It was one of the greatest things of my life going to that game. I did last year. I was so excited. I've always wanted to go, but I've never been. I think I'm going to go to the Masters this year for the first time.
They're going to let you in?
I've never been. but stuff like that, Joel. Listen, man, I've had such an amazing life.
Yep.
I've exceeded. I grew up in the country, in a small town. And to be, I had my birthday a couple days ago, turning 56.
Yep, happy birthday. I meant to say that.
I've had an amazing life, brother.
I meant to say that because I know you gamble with that number, too, and I knew it. And I meant to say happy birthday right off the top, but happy birthday, belated. And I know your love of golf, and so I would love to see you get to the Masters because I know that whole Hootie thing back in the day got blown out. But, man, that would be something to see you walk the grounds because that's an amazing place.
Well, I'm looking forward to it. I'm going to do it at some point. It's right after the Final Four this year and a week before the NBA playoffs start. Normally, I go on vacation that week and just play golf every day because, once the playoffs start, we work every day for two months.
Yep.
So I just, I got a bad feeling if I go to the Masters, it's going to be some drinking every night, all night.
And some cigar smokes and you lose your voice. Can't do that.
Oh, no question there's going to be some cigar smoking. But like I said, I don't want to start the playoffs all tired and with a bad voice because it's a long 2 months.
Well, you know I love you, man, and I really appreciate this more than you know. But be safe, and again, keep entertaining us because between the college and the pro game, it's a pleasure even when the game's a dog to watch you guys on the air.
Well, man, listen, we've been boys for a long time. I miss Chase, Bull, Brett, and you. And I love you, brothers, man. And Houston, I got nothing love for Houston. They treated me great. Even though I couldn't play well for damn my last couple of years, they always treated me great. I always appreciate Rudy Tomjanovich and Carol Dawson and Robert Barr and all those guys.
Chuck, Rudy should be in the hall, shouldn't he?
Yes.
Yeah, that's bothered me to this day, but you know because you played for him. Man, I appreciate you, brother.
He's the best guy, man. I love that dude.
No, I know you do. So when you need a golf partner, call us. We're ready for you.
All right, my brother. Hey, y'all guys have a great weekend, and thanks for having me on.
Thanks, Chuck.
Appreciate you, Chuck.
You do the same. There you go, Charles Barkley. We are a little bit more than late for a break, so we're going to catch up and do some things, but we had to get that in. Appreciate Charles right there. This is Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.